This is a recording of Marjorie Neat of Two Holt Gardens, made on the 4th of July 2011. This is excellent. Please go ahead. And I'm going to try and tell you a little of my early life. My maiden name was Marjorie Kimber, and my date of birth is the 18th of September, 1911. The left-hand side was fences, which was the gardens of a road further up. And as we grew a little older, I remember we used to crawl into the fences and go scrumping.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, carry on.
There were apple trees, and quite often we were caught, which of course was rather unpleasant. Well, now, I went to school at 4 and a half, and my mother took me to a local primary junior school, which was quite nearby, and run by the Anglican Church. It was a lovely school. I was extremely happy there, and I learned many things. I learned to knit, and I was even taught to darn a sock. When I was quite young, I spent a lot of time with my grandmama, that was mother's mother. She was a most delightful person. She had travelled quite a bit because Grandpapa had been in the army. He had fought in the Indian Mutiny and had been mentioned in dispatches for having saved the life of a young Indian boy. Well, now, Grandmama lost 3 sons in the First World War, and it was such sadness. She never recovered from the sadness of the loss. And she and I used to go to chapel every Sunday evening. Now, my parents were very fond of listening to music, and especially songs. And I sang a great deal. And as a young family, my brother and sister, we used to entertain our parents, especially at Christmas time. And it became really rather a joke in the family because I sang soprano. And mother was always saying, we really must have Marjorie's voice trained, but of course it never was. Well, now, at Christmas time, although my father was very fond of the theatre, and particularly the music hall, I went with him really at quite an early age to the theatre. And we always went to the pantomime on Boxing Night. And I was so fascinated by the stage curtains. I thought they were quite lovely. especially when they were being taken up for the pantomime to start. Well, now, as I had said earlier, I was very happy at my primary and junior school. And when it became time for me to leave, my one desire was to go to the local high school. But Mother said, "I'm sorry, there is not enough money for you to go to the high school. Other things must take priority. We must work something out differently." Well, I was extremely lucky. I was the only pupil chosen at the junior school to go to a brand new secondary school which had just been built a few miles away. And so it proved to be a very lovely school. It was a mixed school. What was so nice about it was that every morning we met in hall to say prayers and to sing our school song. We were divided into...
You were divided?
Into houses and into colours. And my colours were royal blue and gold. Now we had a very lovely music teacher, and she was also our teacher to learn French. And this was a delight at the beginning. I thought we used to have small French sketches, and I was always in these sketches and took great delight in trying to read, learn the language. I also was in charge of the tuck shop, and it was my first experience of looking after other people's money. The boys and girls would give me money at the beginning of the week, and then they'd buy their various tuck. And if I made a profit, well, then that went to the teacher who was in overall control. We played tennis, netball, physical exercise of every description, and we also had a very attractive garden. And life went on really quite well at school. I wasn't particularly clever in any subject, but worked reasonably hard. When I was about 16 and a half, I was studying for matric and civil service exams. And the education authority then, as they do now, started to change things. The boys were sent to another boys' school, and we girls were told we were to have a year to learn business acumen, to learn to use the typewriter, and to practice Pitman shorthand. We all protested, but of course, in later years, the business acumen, the typewriter, and the shorthand were very, very useful. I pause. Mm-hmm. When I had passed the civil service exams and I went for my first interview, I told the inspector of the government department, "I would very much like to be a telephone operator in a manual exchange." I had heard about the manual telephone exchanges, and it fascinated me. Well, after some thought, it was agreed that for a year or so, I could go to a manual telephone exchange. And I really loved it. I used to say, "Number, please." And it was surprising how many young men would come on the line and they would say, "I'd very much like to meet you. If you could tell me when you're off duty, I'll be outside." But of course, I had to be very diplomatic about that. Well, now, I said earlier how the family were keen on the theatre. And I used to go to practically every show that I could in London. And I adored Gertrude Lawrence. And I used to try and sing her songs and imitate her voice. Well, now, as this was happening, the dialing, oh, there's just one other thing I remember. When I was 19, I had rather a nice speaking voice, and I was chosen to go in for a competition to be Tim, the speaking clock. And I got through three rounds, but after that I failed. But the operator who eventually won and was Tim, the speaking clock, for many years, she thoroughly deserved her win. She had a most enjoyable and lovely voice. Whilst all this was happening, of course, the dialing telephone was being brought in, and manual exchanges were being closed. And the engineers, it seemed to me, were so very clever. They seemed to bring almost within 24 hours the dialing system of the telephone. Well, now, whilst all this was happening, we had moved to Beckenham in Kent, and we were living near a place called West Wickham, which was a very, very lovely natural park. And there was a horse riding school there. And I spent most of my pocket money learning to ride a horse. And we used to go hacking on Sunday mornings. And it was the most enjoyable pastime. I had a wonderful horse. He was a huge fellow, and his name was Marcus. And I thoroughly enjoyed my Sunday morning ride, and my mother was always so pleased to see me walking home in one piece. Well, now, of course, we're entering the early 30s. And by 33, 34, and so on, I was working in various government departments, mostly as a personal assistant to the boss of the department. And you'd be surprised that practically every boss I worked for asked me to go out in the evening. But it didn't appeal to me, really, because obviously I had boyfriends. Well, now, when we came up to 1936, we knew that Hitler was going to be a menace. I think practically the country began to think we must expect a war. In 1937-38, I was working in an engineering department, and I was very fortunate in having a wonderful dressmaker. She used to delight in buying materials, cutting them up into glorious designs. I was very slim, and she would make me the most lovely dresses and various other clothes. On one occasion, she made me a dark tan wool fabric dress, and it fitted my figure so wonderfully. It was a glorious design. And when I went to the office in it, the boys started to come up and say, "Marjorie, I really do like this dress. It suits you beautifully." And of course, I was very pleased about that. Well, now, one of the young engineers that came up and said, "Yes, I agree. This is a lovely dress, and you look very, very nice in it," was happened to be Alan Neat. And he said, "I'm going to visit my brother and my sister-in-law, who live in Winchester, next weekend. I'd very much like you to come with me, if you will." I agreed, and that was the beginning of our association. Towards the end of 1938, we were engaged. We had, I had filled my bottom drawer, and we had rented a flat in West London, which we were beginning to furnish. But then, Sunday, the 3rd of September, 1939, I had traveled to London to be with Alan and his colleagues in his office. And we sat waiting for Sir Neville Chamberlain to tell us we were at war with Germany. I suppose I must have been in a form of distress, because when he announced we were at war, I must have shown some physical reaction, because one of the boys came to sit by the side of me, and another brought me a glass of water. I don't think I can adequately tell you how dreadful that news was. 11:01, life was wonderful. 11:02, it was like falling into a black pit from which you could never really recover. London, we felt, would be bombed by the Germans straight away. Everybody started to leave London. Shops were closed, and everything was cancelled. And it's here that I knew that we were going to have years of a terrible war. But for the moment, I propose to stop here. And I do hope that if anybody has listened to what I've said, there is something of interest that I have been able to tell you. And so now I'm going to say goodbye. That's it. Cheerio.